All right, so I'm talking here with Chris Mulkey, and you have, as I said a moment ago, been in just about everything ever made.
You make me laugh. Maybe.
Starting out with stuff like Beretta and MASH and Eight is Enough. I mean, you were in obviously in Twin Peaks. So much stuff. It's mind-boggling. So many good things at that.
You know, I was with my friend David Provol, who played a pivotal role in The Sopranos, you know, and he was sitting around with Robert De Niro, who I've worked with, you know, and we did The Fan together with Tony Scott, you know, it's a great movie. But anyhow, and he said, and David's going, I don't know if I want to do this or that. And De Niro says, look, you know, as an actor, just do the work, you know, sitting at home is not doing the work. So go do the work, you know, big stuff, little stuff, do the work. So I do the work. I took Bobby's advice.
Over 200 films.
Something. I don't know. I'm not counting. You are, but that's interesting.
And you were in First Blood as well.
Yeah. How about that? That was really fun. David Caruso and me and, you know, Brian Dennehy, Michael Talbot, and Richard Crenna, God bless him.
I'm sure when you were making that, you had no idea how big of a thing that would become.
Not at all. Yeah, honestly, Brian Dennehy turned to me in the canyon when the helicopter was, you know, fluttering overhead, and he says, and we're freezing. It was so cold, and he says, Mulkey, if this makes a nickel, I'll eat my hat. Every year, I send him a hat with hot sauce.
Nice. And you're in this independent film called The Surface.
Yeah, The Surface with Sean Astin. It's a wonderful film. Gil Cates Jr. directed it. Inspired work. Jeff Gendelman wrote it, I don't know, 15 years ago or I don't know how, and just kept trying to make it. And, you know, it's an inspiring story, The Surface is. It's, you know, about this guy on the day he wants to kill himself. Just manic depressive, you know, my life. And first, you'll find out in the film. He gets in his boat and goes out and wants to kill himself in the middle of Lake Michigan. And he ends up having to save me because I crashed my drug plane in the middle of the lake. And so the guy saves his own life by saving another guy's life. Gives him purpose. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Cool movie.
It is. It's a very intense movie at times. Yeah. It's without a lot of action. It's just the emotion between the two of you.
Yeah. It's thanks. Sean's great to work with. You know, we just, and I'll tell you, if we were going to do a movie in a 16-foot boat, you'd want Sean Astin as your partner. I'll tell you, he's funny. Oh man, he's funny. Yeah. We laughed. We were out there for a month. We're in the middle of the lake, 12 hours a day. Oh my God.
Whoa. So you actually were in the middle of the lake?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Not the exact geographic middle, but
right.
Way out there. Way out there. Scary lake. It's a scary lake because I'm an ocean guy. I've sailed, you know, I've sailed in the South China Sea. I've sailed the Mediterranean when we were doing Captain Phillips. I've steamed across the Atlantic. I've sailed in, you know, Florida, Mexico, and Lake Michigan is really scary because the waves come from all different directions. It's completely unpredictable. I mean, sometimes it's completely like your pool flat, and other times it's just, who put me here? What's going on? The devil must be angry.
any issues while you were filming with it?
We didn't. We had a great safety crew, but one day, admittedly, we had a scary, scary thing. You know how some people, you know, when everything that can possibly go wrong goes freaking wrong, our rescue boat went to run some VIPs back to town, back into shore. The supply boat went to resupply. And then our speedboat that we had was taken by the mechanics to do something else. And so that left about 20 of us on this long pontoon boat with all the equipment. And we're chugging back into shore and we're a few miles out. And suddenly the entire lake goes just bananas. Waves rolling in over the top of the thing, over the top of the pontoon boat, and water washing the entire length of it. You know, camera boxes flying, people hanging on. Oh my God! I turned to our captain. I said, Captain Rick. I said, real calmly, Rick, we're really in deep shit here, aren't we? And he goes, yeah, I guess I think probably we are, Chris. Yeah, probably pretty much. I went, okay, good. I was just checking, and we both laughed. Oh, my God. But everything turned out nothing. We didn't lose anything or anyone, so nobody got hurt. So it was, but it was scary, scary.
I bet. And so many ships have gone down in that lake just like so quickly and suddenly because of weather changes.
Oh, ships and boats for no reason. They say over 3,000 ships are at the bottom. 3,000 ships are at the bottom of Lake Michigan, and it's deep. It's way, way deep. It's the second largest source of fresh water in the world. The other one's in Russia.
Right.
Oh man. Crazy. But yeah, we, it was just, but you know, I think Gil, our director, Gil Cates, should probably have, they should commission him as an officer in the Navy. He should have his own like battleship or something. He's a great, you know, director, captain, fearless, nothing bugs him kind of guy, level, real level guy, you know. And he's funny too. He's funny. Yeah. Get a couple beers in him. He's funny. Woo. Yeah, but
this was done with a fairly small budget as well.
It was. It was done on a wing and a prayer with all of these technicians from Milwaukee and the Chicago area, and they were all fantastic. It looks like a $40 million film. It is so beautiful. It's so great. And Mimi Rogers is great in it. She plays my wife. And it's really terrific, you know. Tiffany Ogle plays the ski instructor. You know, Bear in mind, I just shot Captain Phillips in the Mediterranean, the Somali pirate movie with Tom Hanks.
Right.
And then I came back, I came back from Captain Phillips. We filmed in Malta for 2 months. I went to England and I filmed some. And then I came back to the United States, did a blues festival in Houston, Texas. I play guitar and sing. And then I flew back into Los Angeles, met with Gil, and got the movie. And it was great, you know?
What made you decide you wanted to do it?
What made me decide to do The Surface was the script. Two guys and the compelling story of, you know, helping someone helps yourself. It just sold me on it. And then I met Gil, and he's squared away. And I didn't know Sean was involved in the movie. I said, whoever you get to play the guy, these two guys, make sure they're not a couple of wimps, because you're going to have a really tough shoot. And I said, I can guarantee you that I won't be one of the wimps, so you'll be okay with me. He hired me, and he knew me from my other work and stuff like that. But it was great. I was really fortunate. It's a great role.
Now, yeah, and it's a very enjoyable movie. Cool. You're also in the new film Truth.
Yeah, about the firing of our esteemed CBS anchor. Boy, I'm telling you, I mean, that was amazing. Yeah, that's a great story to tell. You know, they basically pimp the, what's his name? I'm blanking now.
Dan Rather.
Dan Rather. They vetted the story about George W. Bush not showing up for his military service, in, you know, and that was at the height of the Iraq debacle, and so they went around, and the president's powers that be made everybody say the opposite of what they had testified. And Dan Rather reported the true story, and then was, deep sixed out of the job. And the funny part of it is, I was in Austin, Texas, just after that happened, and I was playing at the Broken Spoke. I was playing this country bar in Austin, Texas, with with Chris Wall and the great, great singer-songwriter from Montana. Anyhow, and who's there but Dan Rather's daughter, who was married to one of the guitar players, Dave Murphy, and Dan Rather. And I met him, and I talked to him about it. And he wasn't much, like any good journalist, he was not forthcoming with the details of it, because he didn't know who I was or anything like that. A very pleasant guy, and I knew his daughter from before and her husband. But it's just coincidence, you know. And so then I ended up doing the movie. I did another great movie with the producer of that in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and so called Dreamland. Beautiful movie, and with Ridley Scott's company. So that's how I kind of ended up in Truth, and I'm excited about Truth. Oh, it's going to be a great movie. Yeah, it's really good.
It amuses me that CBS has blocked the ads for it, which has just given it that much more publicity.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Well, that gives it all the creds in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Unbelievable. They shot in Australia.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's amazing. It's just crazy. Wow, that's news to me. Well, go see it. It's really good. I'm doing this really cool movie right now about breast cancer called Quality Problems, about a woman who's re-diagnosed with breast cancer and thought she'd beat it and she didn't, and how her family reacts and the courage that they have and how they laugh in the face of all the disaster. And it's really a cool movie. So I'm shooting that right now. Yeah.
And yeah, you got a lot of stuff coming out.
I do. I have the new Rush Hour series that I jumped in on, and Agent Carter on ABC, and man, a bunch of stuff. And I mean, I just go on and on and on. I just keep working.
And you don't know if you're going to be in the new Twin Peaks.
I don't know. I can tell you that I haven't heard anything, and I know they're shooting now, so that's a good indication that that my character isn't involved in it. I haven't heard word one from them, you know, but I wish them well. It's great. You know, it's a great idea, and I'm sure it'll be really terrific, you know. I said with my most magnanimous smile.
And like with First Blood, did you guys have any ideas when you were filming Twin Peaks that it would have the cult following it ended up with?
No, but I had a really, you know, it was a really extraordinary, the first time around, and I'm sure it was true this time too, the extraordinary group of actors the first time around, and, you know, Richard Boehmer and I mean, just everybody, and Kyle and Laura Flynn Boyle we were all neighbors, you know. We live in Venice, so we always get together and have drinks and joke about it, and you know, this goofy thing we did, you know, and I took the job, and I said, I don't understand. I really like what David Lynch did with Eraserhead and all that stuff, but I really don't understand this stuff. And then after doing it for 2 years, I understood. So it's all good. Yeah. He's really good.
Well, as much as anyone can understand.
Thank you. Yeah, and Mark Frost and I went to college together at the University of Minnesota. We were classmates out there. So a whole bunch of people from Minnesota worked on Twin Peaks. You know, Bob Ingalls and myself and Lance Davis and Peter Michael Goetz and my sister Mary Grimes worked on it. You know, it was a family affair, full blown, you know. But that's what Hollywood is about, you know. You hire your family, you hire your friends, you know, because you're making a football team, so you want whoever's. It's a team sport, you know. So it's great,
right?
But we were one of the first television shows to shoot in a just in a non studio. We shot in a hangar that they had converted at the Van Nuys Airport.
Wow.
So we used to have to stop when the private jets would come, you know, land, you know, so cut, wait, you know. And so, all the sets were back to back to back, so you would get lost. I mean, it was an amazing, I've been on so many great sets, but the two hangars of sets, like the Great Northern Lodge was, you walked, you know, 18 feet and suddenly you were in the diner with me and and a crazy woman. So, you know, and then Norma. So, and then you were at One Eyed Jack's, and then you're in, you know, Bob's house, and then, oh my God, it's crazy. So we'd have ADs following us around with radios and giving locations. You know, Hank Jennings, Chris Mulkey's going over to the northern. No, he turned. He's going over to Bob's house. I don't know. So they keep tracking people. It's funny.
Are there any films you've done that you really regret, where you look back on and go, oh, I really shouldn't have done that?
No, I don't. You know, I've been really lucky. I mean, honest to God, you know, you kind of thank your lucky stars. I mean, I had a choice a long time ago. I had a choice of doing I worked with Walter Hill, the creator of Aliens, the series Aliens. Walter did 48 Hours with Walter. And I did Long Riders with Walter, and then I did a miniseries that kicked off the AMC channel with Robert Duvall and I called Broken Trail. And the first time doing Long Riders, it was a Western down in Georgia, and I got two movies at the same time, and this happens to me a bunch. And I had to choose between doing Long Riders, a prestigious Western, and doing a movie called Roller Boogie. And I chose Long Riders instead of doing Roller Boogie. So, you know, but you could have seen. But I did do I was a boogie skater, actually, in Venice back in the day. And one of the reasons they wanted me for Roller Boogie is because I was one of the lead skaters down at the beach. And so, but I ended up doing my Charlie's Angels was I played a boogie skater with this great other skater, Kathy Chambers, this African-American girl who was just a fantastic, and we were this hot couple, and it was groovy, and the Charlie's Angels thing was going on. So I don't regret not doing Roller Boogie, and I don't know whether you, I don't know where. I, honestly, I can't tell you where to see Roller Boogie.
What are your most favorite things that you've been involved with?
Got to be Twin Peaks. Has to be. And I would say, in one of my of all the movies, and I have to say that The Surface might be one of my favorite roles because it's just a two-hander. Basically, it's Sean and I, yeah. And it was so amazing. I like Captain Phillips. Yeah, cool. I had a series on Lifetime with Annie Potts and Lorraine Toussaint called Any Day Now. It was a story about race relations in the South. We were on for 4 years about this couple in Birmingham. And that was very hip. We won some awards for that. Yeah, you know, but then, you know, 2 months in Malta with Captain Phillips. Are you kidding me? With my wife, Karen, and you hanging out at the hotel. Come on. That's wild. But I just like to work. I like doing stuff, you know, I always like to do the work, you know, it's fun. And I've been blessed doing smart stuff like Boardwalk Empire was really cool to do, you know, and do smart stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But also, take the money. I mean, come on, take the money.
I was just going to ask you something, and I forgot what it was. Your music. Yes. Now you just do that on the side?
Yeah, I do. I have a great blues band called Chris Mulkey and Deluxe, and you can get us on, you know, on Spotify and, you know, all that stuff, and iTunes. Yeah, it's like I play down in Louisiana and stuff, and it's kind of funny. But we were at the House of Blues for a year and a half, and then we just headlined the House of Blues in Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. And then I'll play our Mardi Gras in Lake Charles and Lafayette. And, yeah, we play, you know, play to 100, play to 10,000. It's really fun. So, and I play different styles. I kind of play Americana, kind of Stevie Ray Vaughan meets Los Lobos, kind of, you know, kind of Train kind of stuff. You know, It's really fun. Wow. It's great. And so I'll play while I'm here in Minnesota and with my friends, and you know, we'll play a bar gig here while I'm doing this Crypticon thing. And yeah, it's really fun. I mean, I think I've sold like 40 songs to TV and movies. You know.
Oh wow.
Yeah. You know, either atmospheric movie tunes or source tunes, like, you know, the two characters walk in the bar and they'll hear a band playing, it'll be my band, you know, stuff like that. I just put I have a song called Better Together, which is true of every couple, you know, you're always better together. And I just put that in the movie. I just put that in Quality Problems, in the cancer movie. I just put that in there. So it's cool. Wow. Yeah.
Do you sleep? I mean,
No, I don't sleep. Screw sleep.
Okay.
No, I do sleep. Yes, I do. I take naps too. I nap. I like at 4 o'clock. I'll nap for 7 minutes. That'll be good. And then I go to honestly, and then I go to bed at like 12 or 12:30, and I get up at 7 a.m. And I go.
Wow. You according to Internet Movie Database, you have like 7 or 8 movies coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I have some cool stuff coming out. I jumped in with Chadwick Boseman, the guy who did the James Brown movie, Get On Up,
mm-hmm.
and he did Jackie Robinson's story, number 42. But we did this for Universal, this movie called Message from the King. Is it Message from the King?
Yes, Message from the King.
Yeah, cool movie. Very cool movie. Yeah, it's an action film, and he plays this gang member from a street gang in Cape Town, South Africa. He's looking for his sister. He comes to Los Angeles looking for his sister who's disappeared, and I'm the reason his sister has disappeared. I'm the mayor of Los Angeles. She's my party girl, but she overdosed. She did too much drugs at my parties. But he's fantastic, and what a great guy. He's really a wonderful actor. Who else is it? Alfred Molina is in that movie, did it for Universal. Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time.
And that comes out next year.
Yeah, it comes out next year. They're just, you know, they're putting the final bells and whistles on it and making it all pretty and getting the edit right and getting the ad campaign right. You know, you can go act the movie, but it's usually generally a year. Takes about a year for the movie to come out. Some has come out faster, but you know, it takes a year, sometimes 2 years. You know, it because you have to get it right. I think it took us a year and a half for The Surface. A lot of work. And sometimes it can be a smaller movie like The Surface that takes a little extra time, and then sometimes it can be a larger movie. You know, a gigantic movie that just takes extra time. You know, and because you never want to have. I, you know, as a writer and a producer too of movies, you never want to sit in that theater and go, "Dang, you know, if we had just done a little more work on the da da da,
yeah,
I wouldn't be my stomach wouldn't be growling right now." You know, you got, and that's the same with like in your recording studio too. If you don't like a vocal, if you don't like a lead line, if you don't like a thing, you know, dude. Change it, to work on it, you know, tweak it. If it takes long, then it just takes that time, you know. So Adele has a new movie, a new a CD coming out called 25. This is the first album CD she's made in 4 years, you know. And yeah, it's take that time to do your work, you know, so that you do it right, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And again, The Surface is really just you and Sean Astin. I mean, there's other people in it, but the majority of the movie falls on just the interaction between the two of you over almost an hour and a half.
Yeah, that was rigorous. We had what they called the war room, and after we were at sea for you know, in the lake, you know, for 12 hours, we'd go back. We get some dinner, you know, take a shower, and then we'd meet in this suite upstairs at the Hilton, and we'd go over the work that we're going to do the next day, and we'd run the scenes, run them, so we had all the words right, and that we knew what we were going to do, so that when we got out on the lake, because you never knew whether it was just going to suddenly rain, and you'd only have like 2 hours to do the scenes, or you'd have all day to do the scene, so you better be prepared. So we had the war room, and every night we did that, and it paid off many days. One day we only had an hour and a half to do 5 pages.
Wow.
It was crazy, you know. That was I never saw the guys frazzled. Everybody just said, well, because one of the boats broke loose, all kinds of shit. Our captain almost got almost drowned. It was great. It was lovely. But the Surface is a really exciting movie. It's really great. If you guys out there don't like it, I'll buy the pizza. Okay, 2 toppings only. Okay, but you'll like it. You'll like the movie. Yeah, I mean, because it has great heart to it and great message. And
it does.
I think you like those two guys in that boat. At the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're both very complex characters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when you meet somebody and you think you got them, you kind of meet somebody wherever you are at the bus stop, you're someplace, I don't know, and you think, oh, I understand this person. You have no idea what lies underneath there. It's what lies underneath the surface.
So, is there anything else people should know about you, about what you're doing right now?
No, I just try to do the best I can, you know, and I always have a good time. You know, I just, you know, I've been so lucky to be to hang out with cool people and do the dangerous and insane shit that I do and still be alive. I'm amazed.
What do you have any advice for people who want to get into movies?
Wow. Advice. I don't know. Follow your passion. If you have a story that you want to write or film or something like that, then if you have enough fire in your guts to go do it, then you'll find a way to do it. I was at the AFI, the American Film Institute, when I was like 20 or something like that. And I was just hanging out, helping people make their movies for free because I just wanted to learn about movies. And they had this cowboy actor come in there that had done For a Few More Dollars and The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. What's his name? Clint Eastwood. Yeah, that's the guy. And so he's there, right? And so we had this little get-together in this living room. And there must have been like 15 of us. And we're going around, and Clint looks at me and he goes, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I just wrote a monster movie, you know, and that was kind of cool, but I'm an actor, you know, and I don't know. And I said, I'm just trying to get over, you know. And he says, if you want to get over, go write a movie and star in it yourself. And I went, okay, I will. And so I went back to Minnesota and I wrote with my director friend, I wrote a movie called Loose Ends, and we won Sundance, that year.
Hmm.
And then I took that and I went to Hollywood and bang, there you go. So go make something, you know? Yeah.
Nice. And a year later, you were in Beretta.
And a year later, I was in Beretta. And then 6 months after that, I was in Beretta again. Playing a completely different guy. Yeah, Robert Blake. You can say what you want, but Bobby Blake was a great guy. You know, it's great to be part of that community. I'm in Los Angeles, I'm one of those guys, you know. I'm one of those guys, you know. So it's great to be one of those guys. It's a great club to be in.
Yeah, and you were in, besides Beretta, you were in MASH, Barnaby Jones, obviously Charlie's Angels we talked about, the Waltons, mm-hmm. Chips, T.J. Hooker, the Dukes of Hazzard, Remington Steele, Magnum P.I., the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, my wife Karen and I did the last episode ever of The Twilight Zone. Bill Duke really? Directed it. It was amazing with William Allen Young from A Soldier's Story. And then the three of us were in. It was a great episode called The Junction. God, you read that stuff off. I go, really? I was in that? Really? Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. And I'm not that old either. So it's I just work a lot, you know. So
you were in the Outer Limits as well.
Yeah, me and Ron Perlman.
Wow.
Yeah, man, that was great. Yeah, that was that. I have no idea what that was even about. I have no idea. I'm sure it was.
Oh, you were in.
Was that?
You were in Lost. I didn't realize you were in Lost, too.
Yeah, I was in Lost. Oh, that was cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did that have the feel of like Twin Peaks as well?
A little bit, yeah, it did. Come to think of it, yeah. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was a great crew. I knew everybody. They just called me up. They said, do you want to come over and play the leader of the marijuana cult? And I went, Hey, that's pretty close to home. I guess I will.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm not much of a stoner. It takes up too much time. I pretty much go to the gym instead. I talk a lot, but yeah, that was fun. The Lost was fun. We shot it over in Hawaii. Yeah, there was a good group of people. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot more stuff coming out too. That's you know, a lot of really good programs. I love how all the channels have, you know, all opened up with Netflix and, you know, Amazon and all this stuff, and it's really kicked off the storytelling kind of template. It's just really inspiring, and these new shows are all, the writing on them is basically comes from Twin Peaks, because Twin Peaks was the first serialized television show and that was on ABC too. Wow. And so that changed the way people write for movies, for television rather. So
It was Twin Peaks and then Babylon 5, and both of them suffered a little bit from that storytelling mode, because we didn't have the internet where you could just go binge watch the entire season or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Babylon 5 was cool. Robert Beltran was in that. He's a friend of mine. I like his acting. Yeah, it's really inspiring. So. It's fun. I did an arc of shows on this TV show called Grimm, which is on one of the networks on NBC or something.
Yeah,
that's a good group, and that's a good storytelling format too. It's all in the writing, you know. So, as a writer, I enjoy good writing, and as an actor, good writing is easier to act. Bad writing is they better pay extra. If they send you a script and it's poorly written, you go, how much am I getting for this? No. That's got to be more. No, I can't even say these words. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then you got to make it believable.
Oh, man. You got to add an extra cup of cowboy for that one. I don't even know.
Now, do you have a website or anything?
I just go through I just rock through Facebook, you know, Chris Mulkey on Facebook, you know, and that's all my music gigs and stuff like that, and you can track my stuff down and, you know, hit me up there. Yeah, but I had a website for a while, but it's just too much trouble, and I have so much going on that to keep that up, it's like, dude, another thing? Are you kidding me? You know, it's just, nah. You know, it's, I don't know. I'm kind of Americana guy. You know, I'm kind of like, I don't subscribe to the hype thing too much. I don't work too hard at that. I just let everything kind of do what it's going to do. And I know you got to beat the drum a little bit. So that's why I'm talking to you. And this is great, by the way. You don't have to put this on the air, but it's fun talking to you. But,
thank you.
You know, it's like, you know, I just kind of do my thing. But yeah, Chris Mulkey on Facebook. I got a couple. Chris Mulkey, the musician, actor, writer, and then Chris Mulkey, the other guy. I got a couple of them, you know.
Now, you're doing a convention this weekend?
Yeah, we're doing Crypticon in Minneapolis. And, you know, there's a bunch of people who have done, you know, seminal. I'm there because I did Cloverfield, The Hidden.
Oh, yeah.
The Twin Peaks, things like that. And people want to come and talk to us, and we sign autographs and sell stuff, and you know, it's just nice. And I'm in town with my friends. I'm gonna play some music at a couple of bars, and you know, have a couple of drinks, you know.
Do you do a lot of conventions like this?
No, I don't. I think in all my entire life, I think this is the third one I've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah, it's in Minneapolis. It's cool. I did one in Hollywood, the giant one there, which was great because they had the whole Twin Peaks reunion. So they had all of us there that one time. And then I did one of these in Kansas City, like this summer. That was kind of fun. And this one, but I'm kind of busy because you set these things up and then bang, all of a sudden, you know, you're working a gig and you can't go, you know. And people go, why didn't you show up?
Like, yeah.
But I do celebrity golf because I am I do a lot of cancer celebrity golf stuff. I'm doing the Classic down in Houston, and then I'm doing one in Vegas, Jason Christie's thing that I've done for years. And, you know, I used to do the Dennis Quaid one down in Austin, Texas, and I do the Murray Brothers in St. Augustine, Florida, in Jacksonville. And it's all for charity, you know, charity. People pay to play golf with me, go figure. And then then the money goes to, homeless shelters for homeless families and generally cancer stuff too. So, you know.
Well, that's really cool.
And try to make those happen, you know, because that's, you know, and they go, it goes a long way to really help people's awareness. And also we raise a lot of money, man. You know, that's good. And gonna go, all of it, every cent of it goes to the charity. So I like that, you know. It's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting down and talking with us for a bit. And again, the movie is The Surface.
The Surface, yeah. And two toppings on that pizza if you don't like it, you know.
I definitely recommend it to people. It's a very, very good movie.
Oh, I appreciate it, man.